Welcome to On Course, the teaching ministry of Pastor Hart Ramsey, where we offer simple biblical insight into some of life's most pressing issues.
What if I told you that a lot of the pain and difficulty and adversity you're experiencing is simply God aligning your now so you could be prepared for your tomorrow?
Prepare for the next few minutes to be encouraged, enlightened, and inspired. Let's join Pastor Ramsey and get on course. Well, good day, good people. I hope you guys are well, and welcome to another edition of On Course with Hart Ramsey. My name's Gerard Bonner. You know what we do around here. This is where you get to hear from the heart of God by way of the man of God, and of course, that is Pastor Hart Ramsey. Pastor Hart, how are you, sir?
I'm good, man. Barely awake, but I'm good. Good. How are you doing, Gerard?
I am good. I cannot complain. You know, one of the cool things I love about our podcast is it has become the place to go when people kind of want to get some degree of authority on what's going on in culture, certainly in church culture that falls into play. And it feels like anytime there's a hot button issue, and there seems to be one almost regularly with the church, we seem to be the stopping point for it. So let's get into it.
Okay.
The big topic right now is a recent interview that Ty Tribbett did on The Breakfast Club. And the interview, which I think people are missing, is about 50 minutes long. It's a full, almost hour-long interview. But it is a three-minute clip that has been floating around Instagram and the socials that the people have really gotten up in arms about. The clip itself is Ty talking about the structure and institution of church, what it has become. And, you know, he said that it is whack. He says all of those kinds of things are whack. And that sent the people into a firestorm, one of which they are still talking about today. We got lots of places we can go from with this. Let's start with what he actually said.
What about that? Yeah, let's try that.
Let's start there, and then we'll get into how people have responded. So in terms of what he actually said, and this is an interview, again, that dealt with divorce, depression, suicide, a lot of things, including a question that was asked about the pastor era, which is what led into this conversation. What are your thoughts about the institution of church and what it actually has become?
So that's what the question that was asked to him.
That's the question that was asked to him was about, you know, the pastor era, which was why did so many people want to become pastors in the first place? And that is what led us into his bit of commentary that he had. So I'll start with the question. His commentary was about what the institution of church has become.
Right.
In terms of it, in his words, becoming more about the church than the people, all of those kinds of things. What are your thoughts on what
I want to begin by saying? I was one of the people initially. First of all, I want to preface it by saying I consider Ty Tribbett to be a friend. Mm-hmm. You know, he's I met him some years ago. As a matter of fact, Benjamin Clark, B. Jeffrey Grant.
Yes.
When the Stellar Awards were in at the Grand Ole Opry.
In Nashville, yeah. Nashville,
right.
In good old days.
Nice guy, you know, a lot of respect for him. And so I was sitting at in a restaurant when I saw the clip. Now, the first thing that people need to recognize is that the Breakfast Club and communications like the Breakfast Club, they have to advertise. And what they use for clickbait was the statement he made. And then I think we have been around long enough to know that you're going to get the clickbait, but you have to research the full context of, and the content of what was said.
Sure.
So he talked about the institution of the church. Now, I'm about to be honest, Ty is my friend, but when I first heard it, I'm like, what the heck are you talking about? Note to self, text Ty and find out what's going on. That's what I said I was going to do. Mm-hmm. But the more I kind of listened to it, and I think what got me the most, Gerard, was the responses of the church. The church, the way people were so visceral and so vitriolic, the way they went in on this was, I was like, wait a minute, this is now more than what he said. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a lot of things in place. So number one, it's the setting. The Breakfast Club is not a Christian setting. Mm-hmm. It's a secular setting. That's number one. Number two is they see how they see they do what they do. They invite voices on there that are going to be controversial, are going to say things to stir, and they want to have a spirited conversation. I didn't see the whole interview with Ty, but what I did see was I see what he was saying. So let's talk about the institution of the church. I did a post this morning, and I'll be honest with you. I want to tell you about my post. I don't know when it's going to show, but I'm going to tell you about my post. Hopefully we can show it today. But yeah. I did a post this morning, and the post was based on something that Charlemagne said. And what he said was, you know, I think one of them said that God is not the church. Mm-hmm. So, or something, no, God is not a church building, something like that. So my response to that, I just posted something kind of light, and I said, God is not the church. Or God is not in church. God is in people, and people, where two or three are gathered, there I am. And I put click, 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 and just for something light for us to kind of rally around and you know, laugh and mm-hmm. rejoice about. Yeah. But the comments were so, demonic, were so opinionated, so vitriolic and visceral and angry and mean spirited. I did another post, and I said, what we're not going to do is cancel Ty Tribbett. He's our brother, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, find something else to do. And people coming in, and I was getting inboxes. I'm like, okay, so I'm going to do a podcast. I'm going to address this. First of all, I ain't scared of y'all. I'm a Bernie Mac y'all right now. Ain't none of you. I don't scare me. Your mean selves. That meanness is not a fruit of the Spirit. That's we start right there.
Yeah.
You're not controlled by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. That simply put, you getting mad about a situation does not get God involved. Let's talk about that. Absolutely. Now let's get to the institution of the church. So one comment said that Jesus instituted the church. He did institute the church, but make no mistake about it, Rome institutionalized the church. Mm. And the way Rome institutionalized the church, they took it out of the hands of the Holy Spirit, as we see in the book of Acts, and they put it in under the will of government. Yes. They set up whole structures. When the Roman Empire split, the church split mm-hmm. into Greek Orthodox and traditional Roman Catholicism. So if you want to talk about the institution of the church, we got to go back in history. Mm-hmm. But what that did, Gerard, it opened the door for these players, these notorious and self driven people to come in and do things to the church that was never intended. Do we have some bad leaders? Yes, but we have a lot of good ones too. Sure. So as far as what Ty was saying about the institution of the church, he was speaking from his perspective, from his experience. I wasn't raised in the church. He was, and he's seen some junk mm-hmm. that got hidden under the institutionalized version of what Jesus instituted. So we got to speak to that, okay? Did he say something wrong? No. Did he generalize? Yes. I think in a setting like that, you have to understand, when you are called to a platform that big, right? You got, what do you say is going to be under a microscope, right? And so some of the things that he said, he meant to say, but some of the things that y'all thought you heard, you didn't hear that. You're hearing through your own biases. You're hearing through your own offense, your own unhealed wounds. Mm-hmm. That's what, let's be honest about it. Some of the things that he didn't, when you look at, I didn't see the whole 50 minutes. I saw probably 10 minutes. But what he said was, I know he was speaking to certain things. And I think another thing, Gerard, he was speaking to a certain audience.
Sure.
If he had went on there and acted as if the church is not responsible for some damage, then he'd have been lying. He'd have been disingenuous, and he would have been towing the line, right? Mm-hmm. So what he did was he admitted, yes, some of the stuff in the church is whack. Yeah. Some of the way that the systems in the church, they are whack. Mm-hmm. I could off the top of my head mention a couple whack stuff that's based in false doctrine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay? Based in misunderstanding of text, based on personal biases and idol worship and a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, the church has some whack stuff, but it doesn't mean that. Can we not critique the church? I could tell you, but my family could be whack. Okay. But I love my family. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he was saying he didn't love the church or the church is not necessary. And someone said, well, he said you shouldn't go into church buildings. I didn't hear him say that. How would he, could he say that when he has a big church? Right. So I just think that the bigger conversation is, why are we so mad?
That part. that part. And let's dig into that, because, you know, one of the things that you were mentioning in terms of the institution, well, no, I'm going to come back to the institution question. Okay. Let's dig into that. Why are the Saints so upset? It's amazing to me that the same people mm-hmm. who have criticized the church, who have talked about the things that they don't like, now someone gets on a national platform and says this, and now they are all kind of hurt. Why is that? Because these are the same comments, right. the same comments, and sometimes worse, that they have made on their own social media platforms, certainly in their own text message threads, likely in meetings in their own church. Why are people having such a visceral reaction to this?
I think so. I really believe that it comes down to, it's not about what was said. Mm. Everyone has a phone with a camera. Mm-hmm. Now we have lights and we can do, and we are TV now.
Yes.
And so everyone, or you have a social media platform, you have followers. And so I think, man, we are worshiping at the altar of opinion. And we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
And the opinion thing is, you know, is in my perspective the way I see it. But I think what's difficult now for me to grasp is the Saints aren't just saying what they believe. They are attacking people. They have become locusts. Mm. They have become locusts. And I was sharing this recently. I study this. Every week I get on a thing called Torah.com. Mm-hmm. And I get a chance to study with rabbis. I get a chance to, wow. to read their research and about different topics. And one week, you probably heard me talk about this, about they were talking about locusts. And the question mm-hmm. was asked, like, where do locusts come from? And so I may have shared this on a previous podcast. I don't know.
No, you haven't. Yeah.
I haven't, which is good to share then. So,
yeah.
So grasshoppers are these introverted, isolated insects. When in the natural world, you won't find grasshoppers congregating. And if they congregate, they don't touch each other. Hmm. They're quiet.
Okay.
They're to themselves. They're eating grass. They're eating foliage. Whatever is green, they're eating it. They're not destructive. You know. But then when there is an environmental shift, when something in the air changes, when it's not raining, all of a sudden the land is becoming dry, mm-hmm. right? Grasshoppers begin to internally and instinctively respond to climate change. Anything, mm-hmm. any shift, any detrimental shift in the climate speaks to the grasshoppers. Mm-hmm. The drier the climate and the environment becomes, now when there's nothing for them to eat, they have a sensitivity in them to find water or to find greenage.
Hmm.
They'll congregate, all of a sudden, they all eventually in one locale will show up in the same space, because mm-hmm. the space that they were occupying, isolated and individually, there's nothing there to eat.
Okay.
Here's the crazy thing. When they come together, now the more they eat and the less that's available to eat, they start rubbing up against each other. And when they begin to rub up against each other, because remember, they don't touch. They're communicating. And what they're communicating is their need. They're communicating their fears. They're communicating the fact that there's nothing for us to survive on. If we don't do something, we're going to die. They're not speaking this. It's by them brushing up against each other.
Hmm.
Think of social media. And when we get into these echo chambers, and we're saying the same thing. So what they do is, without any commander, the book of Proverbs say they do this without any leader. Hmm. All of a sudden, when they think it, they all are thinking the same thing. Now they lift off the earth, the whole while they on the ground. But when they lift off the earth, according to scripture and science, the density of their connection can block out the sun. Wow. When they rise up, you could look up and not see the sun for seeing so many locusts, and they fly. And what they're looking for, they have a homing device. They're looking for food. They're looking for water, and they will descend on a farm mm-hmm. where there's greenage. And now they're not grasshoppers anymore. They have become locusts. They're not domestic insects anymore. Now they're terrorists.
Wow.
And they're going to eat everything inside. Here's the crazy thing that we need to understand, that a grasshopper can become a locust, but once it becomes a locust, it can never change back to a grasshopper.
Oh.
So what we got to do now is destroy them. The way they became like that, they didn't become like that out of evil intent. Because there was an environmental shift, a shift in the atmosphere, that no one's able to come and replenish what they lost. And because of that dryness, that's that they became dry on the inside, dry on the outside, and now they become a danger to the very earth that they were put here to help propagate. Does that sound like the church?
Wow.
So the point I'm making is this, is that it's not just not, the danger is not that we are, that all of a sudden we're opinionated. The danger is that we're using anger and opinion to replace what prayer and fasting and the word of God and the things that, and true fellowship and true discussion and healthy disagreement.
Wow.
All these things were designed to keep us healthy and whole and balanced so that we can be bearers of truth, pillars and bastions of the truth, speaking the truth to the world while loving one another.
Wow.
And because we have not done that, now we've become dangerous. So watch this. You we were talking earlier. You mentioned it started the year with William Murphy.
Day one.
Right?
Day one.
They wanted to cancel William Murphy. Why? Mm-hmm. Because they swag surfed.
Right.
They did. It wasn't human sacrifice. It wasn't. They didn't denounce Jesus Christ. They swag surfed in church. We didn't like the choice of song because of the lyrics. How did you know the lyrics? That's my question, right? So okay, I get it. Am I defending him? I'm not defending what that was a decision I would have never made. Mm-hmm. You will not go to a church pastored by Hart Ramsey that swag surfing to whatever song that was. I don't even know the song. Mm-hmm. I am just a little bit more reserved than that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But we didn't, so William Murphy, I don't know if he survived it. I don't know what happened.
He seems to be fine.
He seems to be fine. Now we move on to, but it's not going to, he's not going to be the last one.
Mm-mm. Okay. There have been others in there.
You right, know, something came out of, Jakes was in the news. All of a sudden, his likes on social media went from tens of thousands down to, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. That's what we do.
Yeah.
That's what we do. Jesus said, in John, I think it's John 15, or John 13, they will know that you are my disciples, not by your theology.
Right.
It's not by your, it's not by your opinion. It's not by your righteous indignation on social media. It's by your love.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that constitute? It means that in every setting, in every situation, our response to some degree and in some kind of way has to be loving, has to be kind. Now, the people who arbitrate for truth will say, well, you know, truth rebukes until you need to be rebuked publicly.
That right there.
So I'm going, forgive me, reel me in, okay? Because I'm out here. I had a pastor, Gerard, inbox me, a very wonderful brother. I don't know where, I think he says from up north somewhere, inbox me. And he did the right thing. He asked me privately, man, I read your post, man, help me understand. Because what he said, it could be detrimental. And what I said to him was this, I said, yes. I said, Ty generalized some, and I wish he had been more specific, right? Maybe he didn't have time, maybe he can think about it, but it's a big stage, it's hot lights.
Mm-hmm.
But I said this, I said, he asked me, what is this? He said, what is my responsibility as a pastor in a setting like this? That's mm-hmm. the excellent question.
Yeah.
As a pastor, when things like that happen in public, you are responsible for the people who hear your voice. My sheep hear my voice. So God has assigned you as an under shepherd to speak to certain people. So when you assemble, you congregate in the community and culture that you're building, you speak to this and you teach your people how to see truth in this and how to love truth, love yeah. through it, right? Yeah. You teach the people what's right. And in many cases, you have to play devil's advocate and say, here's what I think he was trying to say. Here's why I think he went left. I've done it with every situation, from the Carlton Pearson situation where Carlton came up with the doctrine of inclusion. I got up on a Sunday to pull up the scripture in Romans chapter 5. I said, this is what Carlton is preaching. This is what this is the point he's making. Here's what I think. Now, I'm not speaking and I'm not calling him a heretic. I said, no. I said, here's why I think he's missing it. I said, this is just my opinion.
Yeah.
I think where he's missing it is that he's leaving out choice. He's leaving out this part right here. And because he's leaving that out, the rest of it is crumbling. Mm-hmm. But what he's teaching is truth.
Mm-hmm.
He's just missing this one piece.
Yeah.
Let's pray for him. Yeah. We got to love. We got to teach our people how to love. I think pastors over the years have taught our people how to hate and how to throw stones.
Wow.
Because we use our pulpits as bull pits.
Ooh, that's good. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I just went off the rails right there.
More of our heart-to-heart conversation is on the way. Stay tuned.
Why, yeah.
Have you subscribed to Hart Ramsey's Uplift? It's his national text message service where daily you can hear from the heart of God by way of the man of God, Pastor Hart Ramsey. To receive this daily encouragement, text the word UPLIFT to the number 334-310-4278. Again, text the word UPLIFT to the number 334-310-4278. Uplift your spirit, encourage your heart, and empower your walk. Subscribe today to Hart Ramsey's UPLIFT. Imagine being filled with a peace so deep that the world around you can't touch it. Pastor Hart Ramsey is on a mission to help believers understand what it means to have a healthy prayer-based relationship with God. He's doing that through his book, Seeking Answers, Finding Rest Through Prayer. In this book, you'll learn how to ensure your relationship with God is based on a new and improved covenant, which dangerous prayer habits to avoid, and what to do when prayer doesn't yield the answers you want. It's time to trust God enough to make your prayer life truly about Him. Pick up your copy of Seeking Answers, Finding Rest Through Prayer from Hart Ramsey today. Available now on Amazon, iTunes, and wherever books are sold. Do you love this podcast? There are several ways you can show it. You can share your love for this podcast on the socials and use the hashtag OnCourseHartRamsey or Heart to Heart. That's H-A-R-T, the number 2, H-E-A-R-T. You can also subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and now you can find us on Spotify. So if you rock with Spotify, it's an easy way to access us. Search for On Course with Hart Ramsey and subscribe. Thank you so much for your continued support and keep listening to On Course with Hart Ramsey. Stay connected with Pastor Hart Ramsey on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Hart Ramsey. Let's go back into today's heart-to-heart conversation featuring Pastor Hart Ramsey. No, you need to get that out. You need to get that. And there's so much to that. I do believe that people are operating from a hurt space. And that's proved when you hear things that weren't said.
Speak to that.
I mean, isn't it interesting how somebody can say something, but when you hear it through the lens of your own pain, it sounds like something that was never, ever said. And sometimes you literally have to go back. I've done it with text messages where I read and I thought somebody said something. And then I went back and I was like, oh, that's not what they said. They said something totally different. I want to ask this question. Why have people had such a hard time accepting the idea that the institution of church may have evolved in a flawed way? And let me put it to you this way. You were mentioning earlier about what Rome did and several others. You know, before we even got here in the Bible, Jesus walked into a temple and flipped over tables because they were selling things in the temple. Mm-hmm. So it had already devolved then. Mm-hmm. In terms of the institution, if you think about just the earth itself and how, you know, we now have global warming and all of these things, these were not things that God created. They are things that devolved from how humans handled or mishandled what God created. Even as something as simple as daylight savings time.
Yeah.
That was not something that God created, but a government said, we want to preserve and conserve time. So we're creating this thing called daylight savings time, which not everybody subscribes to. So right. if all of those things, time, you know, the environment, the earth, if they all can be polluted by the men that occupy them, why do people have such a hard time believing that the institution of church has not been polluted, diluted, devolved by the men who serve it?
That is so good. That question is powerful. So here's what I think. A lot of people are not mature enough in their thinking, in the emotionally, to be connected to something and admit at the same time it's flawed.
Ooh.
It's Ooh. Pride. It's the pride that says, it's ego, actually. The ego says, the ego wants to associate itself only to things that are bigger than itself.
Sure.
That's why we claim friends. You know, when I first came on, I said, well, Ty is my friend. You know, but if you ask Ty, Ty would say, well, yeah, I know Hart Ramsey, he's my friend. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But there are people who say, I know him, yeah, we we will connect ourselves to things that's bigger than we are because of actually it's low self-esteem. We're trying to build this false sense of self. And so it's, for example, I've never pastored a perfect church. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say something that's going to blow your mind. I consider myself a very accurate and methodical and very conscious teacher. Mm-hmm. I've gone back in my notes studying things I've preached 20 years ago and went, that's not right.
And I've heard you hop onto stages and say, I taught this before, let me make a correction. I've heard you do it.
Exactly. Because here's the thing. If you can't do that, you're not authentic. Because listen, we give what we have.
Yeah.
And we give it with great gravity and sincerity and integrity. And then when we grow, we're up. I didn't get that right. The church, the institution and systems of the church are flawed. For example, right? We talked about the pastor culture. You led with that, right? Why is it that particularly in black churches, right, a brother would get saved? As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you this. I've met people, right, who said to me, the Lord has been, they're not saved yet. They're just getting saved. They said, the Lord's dealt with me. What has the Lord said to you? He told me I'm to preach. Notice, these men did not say God called them to be saved.
Wow.
To be filled with the Holy Spirit. To submit and learn. They're saying that God told them that they're running from their calling. They're supposed to preach. Now, when you look into that socially and culturally in the African-American community, can I speak to that?
Sure.
When I was in school, there's something we learned about this. Number one, when a black man who comes from a power in a situation where he feels hapless and hopeless, a powerless situation, he comes into the church, right? And he sees, for example, what we call the modern mega church. You look at, let's say they have 500 and above members. He's looking at all these people spellbound to one man. Mm-hmm. If his sense of self is, I don't know who I am, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, I have no options. Then he looks up and he says, man, this guy is well-dressed, well-spoken, well-loved, well-paid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I say something to you?
Yeah.
And they could drag me for this if they want to. 50% of the people in pulpits are not even called.
Woo.
To them, that was a way out of. Now, I'm not saying that it was conscious,
right?
Because 90% of the decisions we make are 95% are made by a subconscious mind. And here's I'm about to blow your mind. Here's how most people, right, that don't understand how their souls are designed. Here's how they express the intimate thoughts of the subconscious mind. You know what they say?
What's that?
The Lord told me.
Because nobody can argue with that.
Who can argue with that? And you can't, and listen, and you can't tell them they didn't hear it.
Right.
But it came out because most people do not even realize that 95% of the decisions you make on a daily basis, the things, the thoughts, they come from your subconscious mind. There's not something you, so people, here's what a problem is posed. So when a person does something wrong or makes a wrong decision, instead of us showing them grace, realizing that that probably came out of something that was buried on the inside of them, we ascribe to them ill motive. And we begin to say, you did it on purpose, and you meant to do this, and we need to cancel him. He's a false prophet. He's a false teacher. And then this whole ministry is on TikTok who are saying, oh, they get on there, put covers on the head, Bishop Jakes is going to hell, Beyonce is going to die. And I see this, John, I'm thinking to myself, you know what? That's mental illness.
Yeah.
But most people in church can't tell the difference between mental illness and the prophetic.
Wow. Wow.
Okay, I'm going to say something that's,
we here now.
There's a book I want to recommend called Master Your Emotions. I'm going to see, can I find it? It's called Master Your Emotions. And I've been recommending this book for years. I don't know if you can see this on my camera. It looks like that.
Yeah. We can see it.
Get this book and listen to it and take notes, saints, because here's the thing. Here's what you're going to learn. Our emotions, we say, man, the things are changing. The world does not change as fast as we give it credit for.
Wow.
Our emotions are changing and we see the world differently. Going back to the thing with this thing with our tie and the Breakfast Club stuff, the saints right now are going from trauma to trauma, from big news story to big news story, from scandal to scandal, from exposure to exposure. Plus, that's not even dealing with their own personal stuff.
Right.
We have not even addressed the hypocrisy yet.
Right.
That you on social media judging people for the same junk you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't talking about that, the illness that's involved in that.
Right.
So we come on there, we're so vitriolic and we want to cancel people. We want to hate people for what? We want to hate them because they said, you know, I was texting with my dude this morning, and he was like, I mean, he was like, he's just watching.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, he looking at this thing like, okay, you know what? I know what not only do I know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. but the people who are on there talking junk, they know exactly what I'm saying.
Right, right.
And I have a problem with some of the preachers who know him. And you're on social media trying to do what? Come on, brothers. We are the leaders. Our job is to show the way, to go the way, because we know the way, right? So my thing is, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And how can the saints be any better than we are?
Mm. Mm.
No, I'm asking questions that I don't know if they're rhetorical or what, but I wish I could have done this live on social media.
Yeah.
To steal the comments as the stupid comments were coming, so I could, you know, get some people all the way together, because it has to stop.
Yeah.
What do we do when our leaders fall, fail, present with flaws, or just get it wrong in a moment, or say something we don't agree with? What do we do? Mm-hmm. Where's the honor?
Yeah.
They were just, you remember, they were just singing his songs.
Just singing his song. His song was number one.
What was the name of the song?
2 weeks ago. No, only one night.
Only one night, though.
Yeah. And
everybody's post was only one night, though. Now you want to kill him? I'm afraid of y'all.
Yeah.
I don't trust y'all. I'm sorry. I don't trust y'all. I'm telling you what. Y'all leave me alone. I'm too old for y'all. I'm done. The games that y'all play, talking about, we just cast, you know, he has responsibility because he's famous. The truth of the matter is, some of y'all just jealous.
Mm.
They're jealous. First, fame is a dangerous thing these days.
It is.
Now, my heart went up because I get what he was saying. Our systems, we need to get our system better. There's not a pastor there's not a healthy pastor that I know, Gerard, who doesn't have conversation and go to conferences about how can we make our systems better.
Right.
Most churches do not have a grievance system.
Mm-hmm.
A healthy grievance system where something is wrong, they can go and a whole department is set up where they can voice their grief and get some help.
Right.
In many churches, the pastor is the central figure and mm-hmm. he's being trained and he's being, you know, if you use a cloth long enough and don't wash it, it's going to stink.
Right.
It's going to be dirty. It's not going to be clean anymore. And so now you got a problem and now the person's life becomes filthy. Now you're judging them. The systems are wrong. The institution of the church, not what Jesus instituted, but what Rome institutionalized and what the church has become. I don't know if the word whacked fits, but I'm going to tell you this right now. It needs fixing.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And apparently the pandemic wasn't long enough. because the same kinds of things and even worse that the church was known for prior to 2020 just seems to be happening all over again. This is a conversation that might have to turn into a part two. And I think in the second part of this conversation, perhaps we can address the ways to move forward, because I think there has to be a better way for people to deal with these kinds of things that are happening, because it's not going to stop. There's always going to be a headline. There's always going to be an opportunity for people to jump out there and have something to say. But is what you're saying going to be productive? And here's the unfortunate part. The unfortunate part is none of the conversation that people have been having has been actually designed to address the real issue.
Right.
Which is, you know, what has the church become and how can it become a place that ultimately welcomes the lost and really helps to grow and disciple people into spaces of wholeness. This is a wild, wild time. And I hope that we have assisted in providing a degree of clarity so that people can figure out, how do we think about this? How do we approach it? Ultimately, as it's already been said, we are supposed to be known for our love, not for our fights, not for our arguments, and not for our conjecture. So let's find out some ways that we can love. And if you don't have anything good to say, pray.
That's basic.
And say nothing at all. How about that?
That part.
let's do that. So we definitely want to hear from you. We know we will. Yeah. So by all means, reach out to us. You can use the hashtags Heart to Heart or the hashtag Heart Ramsey. Of course, you know how to reach Pastor Heart on the socials, at Heart Ramsey everywhere. He will respond. If you talk crazy, he'll block you. but he's good for good conversation if you're interested in healthy and meaningful conversation. I'm sure we will revisit this and a few other topics connected to this. Until then, make sure you subscribe to the podcast and get on course with Heart Ramsey.